young men who are looking for work who are also very much at risk of being exploited in those kinds of work environments where they're underpaid, they're forced to endure long hours of work.
Myanmar's Rohingya now at risk for trafficking in Bangladesh. It's Friday, August 3rd, and this is VOA Asia. I'm Doug Bernardi in Washington. Also this half hour, China tells the U.S. to cool it with talk of trade war, saving the Pakistani white vulture and cleaning the oceans of miles of plastic. It's all on today's VOA Asia. Singapore Thursday hosted senior officials from Southeast Asia for an annual meeting overshadowed by trade tensions between the U.S. and China. The ASEAN ministers also appeared to have made progress on a 15-year effort to devise a code of conduct in the disputed South China Sea that aimed at resolving maritime disagreements diplomatically. Friday, ASEAN members will join other countries, including the United States, for a larger regional security forum. University of New South Wales Professor Emeritus Carl Thayer spoke with VOA's Victor Beattie about what he sees as progress on forging a draft single document on a code of conduct to ease tensions in the South China Sea.
They have a mutually agreed time frame to complete this, and they've stated they will hold three hearings on this draft to reduce it and to get it into a manageable text. So, one sense, it's light at the end of the tunnel. I've seen the document, 19 pages, and it's cut in pace, and many options are listed. Why it's important, it won't change the status quo, it won't change China's construction on its artificial islands, but it will bring in confidence-building measures, it will bring in cooperative programs, and it will provide for dispute settlement mechanisms on a voluntary basis so China can opt out yet again. But it lists a whole series of international law and behaviors that should restrict or constrain China to a certain extent.
Now, after the ASEAN meeting comes the ASEAN Regional Forum, in which more countries, of course, including the U.S., are involved. North Korea seems to loom large. There's a concern by the U.S. that other countries are not keeping the lid on sanctions with regard to North Korea.
At the last meeting, they adopted a statement on Korea, which is boilerplate, and we're likely to hear it again, as they express grave concern on these developments. They will urge North Korea to comply with U.N. sanctions, and they will call for the denuclearization of the Korean Peninsula and applaud the North-South talks. Secretary Pompeo can attend this meeting and raise his concerns and point fingers or name and shame, if he wants to, countries that are violating the U.N. sanctions. But the ASEAN members, they are the chair, will respect the U.N. sanctions because they always have gone the U.N. charter route as their national legal protection. But it has no force, except moral force, political force, on particular countries.
Secretary of State Mike Pompeo's presence underscores American engagement in what is now being called the Indo-Pacific region. How important is that?
As Secretary Pompeo made clear, and what I've been telling people for years, that the United States has the largest cumulative investment in that region of anybody, and that's not going to go home. And it's also the largest two-way trading partner of most countries in the region. As a global power, it has a vital interest in seeing the sea lines of communication through the South China Sea, linking the Pacific and the Indian Ocean, are kept open.
VOA Asia continues. The International Organization for Migration reports that thousands of Rohingya Muslims in Bangladesh are at risk of falling prey to human traffickers who exploit them sexually and for forced labor. Lisa Schlein reports for VOA from IOM headquarters in Geneva.
Around 1 million Rohingya live in cramped, squalid camps in Cox's Bazar. More than 700,000 have fled since August, escaping violence and persecution in Myanmar. In their haste to leave, most have arrived in Bangladesh with nothing more than the clothes on their backs. The International Organization for Migration says their destitution and lack of job opportunities make them extremely vulnerable to human traffickers. It says women and girls are at particular risk of being trafficked into the sex trade and of being violently abused. IOM spokesman Paul Dillon tells VOA women and girls as young as 11 are vulnerable to being trafficked as domestics in slave-like conditions.
There is a burgeoning cottage industry and manufacturing where, you know, you have many young men who are looking for work who are also very much at risk of being exploited in those kinds of work environments where they're underpaid, they're forced to endure long hours of work. In some cases, they're not allowed to return home with any regularity.
Because of the clandestine nature of the crime, IOM has identified only 78 victims of trafficking in the past 10 months. But the UN Migration Agency notes this represents just a fraction of the true number. It says it has a lot of anecdotal evidence that thousands are at risk from all forms of trafficking. IOM is the lead agency coordinating the fight against human trafficking in Cox's Bazar. Dillon says the agency is scaling up its counter-trafficking activities. These include protection, prevention, psychological and material aid to survivors, and legal assistance to victims. Lisa Schlein for VOA News, Geneva.
Happening now in Asia, third quarter results from Apple show that 31% of revenues came from the Asian region. China was especially strong. Asia's growing population provides a strong basis for growth, not just based on new products or increased market share. Stay up to date with VOA. You're listening to VOA Asia. We're happy you're with us on VOA Asia today. The population of the white-backed vulture, which inhabits Africa and parts of Southeast Asia, has declined significantly over the past several decades, to the point that it is now considered by conservationists an endangered species. In Pakistan, conservationists believe a contributing factor in the bird's decline is the use of a certain drug on livestock, whose carcasses are a major source of food for the scavenger. But a decade-long conservation effort appears to have halted the alarming decline in the population of the critically endangered species of vulture in Pakistan. Ayaz Ghul has more from Islamabad.
This breeding center in the Changa Manga forest was set up in 2005 by the World Wildlife Fund in coordination with Punjab provincial authorities. The aim was to increase the population of rapidly vanishing white-backed vultures.
White-backed vultures is critically endangered, and we have kept this white-backed vulture in this facility at the back. Currently, we have 21 species of white-backed in this facility.
But it was only in 2016 that the center succeeded in breeding the vulture stock. Since then, it has successfully hatched 6 chicks. All of them are healthy and have fledged, say WWF officials. Organizers discovered during the breeding effort that the white-backed vulture is a shy bird and does not like to be fed by different people.
These birds are very sensitive to any form of human interference around their aviary and tend to avoid eating when they're served food. Staffers who are assigned to feed them wear special white-colored veils so they all look alike. We feed them twice a day. Usually their food includes donkey meat.
Pakistanis generally despise vultures. Few seem aware that without these scavenger birds, the carcasses of livestock would rot and spread disease, posing serious health and environmental problems.
They eat dead animals and they clean the environment. So they are basically natural safeguards of the environment.
Researchers say the use of the pain-killing drug diclofenac sodium on livestock is to blame for vultures' population decline. They note the birds die after eating animal carcasses contaminated with the drug. The World Wildlife Fund persuaded Pakistani authorities to ban the medication in 2006. But officials at the center complain the drug continues to be used illegally, a factor likely to discourage plans to ultimately release the birds to the wild. Ayaz Gul for VOA News, Islamabad.
VOA's Learning English is available online at learningenglish.voanews.com. Check out our programs such as Let's Learn English, English in a Minute, Everyday Grammar, and many more. VOA's Learning English, your reliable source for learning English.
This news alert from VOA Asia. Asia Pacific equities fell on Thursday after Donald Trump ratcheted up trade pressure on Beijing. Hong Kong's Hang Seng was among the worst performers, falling by 1.1%. Visit VOA Asia Facebook each day for top stories and great features. This is VOA Asia. And VOA Asia continues. From water bottles to straws to disposable utensils, plastic is everywhere, and it's creating an environmental nightmare. On this week's edition of Plugged In, VOA contributor Greta Van Susteren sits down with a U.S. lawmaker and leaders from the plastics industry and conservation sectors to look at how countries and communities around the world are addressing this global problem. VOA's Elizabeth Chernoff has more.
Across the seas that cover more than 70% of the Earth's surface, plastics are increasingly polluting the world's oceans. Marine researchers say between 5 and 12 million metric tons of plastic finds its way into our oceans each year. The images that often come to mind are giant heaps of trash floating in the water. But Mark Dix, who heads one of the U.S. government's top science agencies, says that's not entirely accurate.
Now, it's actually not correct to be thinking of it as some sort of giant raft of debris or material, because that material that's out there is actually widely dispersed. You can find increased concentrations of debris out in that gyre, but it's a very large space.
Here in the U.S., conservation groups encourage volunteers to take part in trash cleanup efforts around local water outlets. But unlike other environmental issues, cleaning up the world's oceans is a cause that appears to be uniting lawmakers on both sides of the aisle, says Senator Dan Sullivan, co-sponsor of the proposed Save Our Seas Act.
What was really important about this bill, it wasn't just bipartisan, but as opposed to just saying, hey, we're going to get with the environmental groups to support this, we have many conservation groups that are helping. We also went to industry and said, look, this is a big problem. You guys can be part of the solution.
Partnering with groups at the international, state, and local levels is crucial, says Julia Robertson with the Ocean Conservancy Group.
We are putting more in than we are taking out right now, and that is a problem. But the good news is that we can solve this problem. There is a role for industry, there's a role for governments, and there's a role for an individual consumer to tackle this problem.
Global prevention and helping developing countries better manage their waste must be a top priority, says plastics industry expert Steve Russell.
It's not to say that countries that are putting in just a little bit shouldn't aim to do better, but if we really want to impact the volumes going in so that we start putting in less and take out more, then we have to address those parts of the world that just don't have access yet to waste management.
A solution to this global crisis is achievable, say experts, but it begins with an individual commitment to recycle, reuse, and properly dispose of waste. Elizabeth Chernoff, VOA News, Washington.
Ending out this week, this final note. Chinese police broke into the home of a retired Shandong University professor who is critical of China's human rights record as he was expressing via a telephone interview his opinions on VOA's Mandarin TV show Issues and Opinions. VOA Mandarin has attempted to reach Professor Wen Guangshun by cell phone since he was removed from his home during the night broadcast. The professor, who lives in Xinjiang, has not responded. Quote, I'm entitled to express my opinion. This is my freedom of speech, were the professor's last words heard on the show. Well, that's our program for this week. Thank you so much for being with us. We hope you have a great weekend, and we'll see you again on Monday.